Once again, Father, we come before you this afternoon. We're thankful, Lord, that we have this opportunity to look into your word, and we pray that your presence here will be an encouragement to each and every one. We know that your word is precious. It's preserved throughout the generations for our benefit, for our blessing, for our edification, but also as an honor and glory to your name. Bless each and everyone present, and just uplift us through your spirit, for we humbly ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. So, as we often share when we stand here at the pulpit, we don't coordinate what we're going to speak on a particular Sunday. We don't send each other as ministers notes unless it's a particular event of what we are thinking about praying, but just simply let the Lord lead us to that. The reason I'm saying is that some of the things that have been shared, I think, just nicely fit with what the Lord has laid on my heart to speak about this afternoon. Few of us that are in this room this afternoon were at camp a few weeks ago, and as it is tradition, at least the first couple of brothers that come back usually share some thoughts that we have brought with us from camp. So that's what I would like to focus on this afternoon. So for those of you that were not at camp or did not have a chance to listen to some of the sermons and inspiration hours, just as a reminder that this year our theme for the camp was found from the Great Commission from Matthew 28, and it was titled, "And Jesus Said, Go Ye Therefore," as is captured in Matthew 28, 18 to the end. And the lessons of discussion and consequently the thoughts were geared and structured around these couple of verses, but it's really about the commission. And it was divided into, as we had a 5 days of lesson materials that we focused on and thought about, and it was about going. It was about a clear message that we are to take as we go. It was about example as Christians in a way we walk and talk and how we share the gospel, instructing them to, teaching them to observe, and then Christ's assurance of his presence along the way. So that was the map and layout of the camp. My focus this afternoon, with the help of the Lord, is about this middle of the week discussion and some of the thoughts that have corresponded. Even this morning, Danny kind of expressed his own convictions that have come forth, and that is our encouragement to each and every one of us to be more minded of sharing the gospel, being more evangelical. You know, the scripture points out that there is a calling of being an evangelist. And a brother from our circles aptly stated, I don't know if you read it somewhere else, we're not necessarily called to be evangelists, each and every one of us, because I believe it's a specific gift. But we each have been called to evangelize. There's a little bit of difference. There's a particular calling, but there's also a commission to each and every one. So with that in mind, I wish to read only a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 19. And as Brother Zoran reminds the secretaries, if you're looking for a title, it would be "All Things to All People." So we, with the help of the Lord, let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. And we're going to read only a few verses. "For though I be free from all men, Yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And this word gain is win the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain, and again, this word gain is win, them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men. So there's a title, All Things to All Men, that I might be by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. We'll stop with verse 23. So in this discourse, as Paul is addressing some of the challenges in the Corinthian church, he's explaining some key points about his approach to sharing the gospel. As the theme was about motivation and encouragement for us to go, the Great Commission, to be encouraged to go. And when you consider go, it's clearly understood. It's not the concept of us leaving our today's life and responsibilities and whatever we have and just going into the mission field. But go in a context of sharing the gospel. This was the whole camp was the instruction that we have in the Word of God associated with the commission of going, but also the exposition and discussions and messages and lessons and inspiration hours of the challenges that we are facing as a denomination, as a group of people, that we are perhaps become too comfortable over the years, over the decades, in being just content in our own environment. Not that we don't need our place of gathering and so on and so forth, but even when you think about of most of the focus and most of the attention is, a lot of it is inward and to people that are very close to us, our family and perhaps beyond that a little bit. So the whole idea and the concept was of expanding that, of God using this opportunity. And if you haven't listened to some of the sermons, but the discussion even more ensued in a Bible class discussions of really what are we doing in terms of reaching out beyond of just what's comfortable and what's nearby, what we know. What are we doing just beyond of just doing it right here in the church, in the confines of these four walls, which is very comfortable and very familiar to us? And so I chose this portion of the scripture because Apostle Paul, if anybody, could be used as a very wonderful example of what he has done in his life in reaching, you know, the lost and sharing the gospel, both with the Jews and the Gentiles. Even though he was called the apostle to the Gentiles, Christ specifically, as he met with Christ on his road to Damascus, as he was transformed in that instant and became an active servant of God, he was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But we know that every scripture we read about Paul and what he has done, he has never forgotten his countrymen, if you will, the Jews. He would always start off with synagogue, where they were gathering. And of course, he would be facing oppositions and so on, but that never stopped him. So what he has here is really a wonderful summary, an example, and I think it's a good encouragement to us how Lord may perhaps use this to motivate us to expand, to broaden this concept. So what can we learn from his approach and what he has summarized in here? Well, first, I want to remind us just what Solomon said in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:30 says, "He who wins souls is wise." He who wins souls is wise. It's about, Paul keeps talking about, he's doing all these things so that he could gain, that he would win some souls, that he could save some souls. Well, we know, and we're going to elaborate a little bit more, that it's not Paul that is doing the saving. It's not Paul that is doing the winning. But it is God's mechanism that he has used the earthly clays, you know, vessels of clay, us, which possess the Spirit of God and have the Word of God in us, to be the ones that go and deliver these messages. God could have figured out any other way he wanted, but he chose you and me to be these instruments. We're not doing the savings, let's be very clear. That's not what Paul is implying. But he's talking about winning and saving others. And so the question, first question comes to mind, and I think this is where it so nicely connects to what Tim was talking about, you know, in large portion this morning. What is he trying to save them from? What is he trying to win them from? So we could just replay a good portion of Tim's message this morning. He's trying to save them from the wrath of God that is to come. His concern on his heart was not about him personally saying, "Oh, I did so many, I saved so many." Even though Psalmist says that the one that is concerned about the salvation of men and women around him is wise. This is the wisdom of God. He is trying to help them understand that there is this wrath of God, judgment of God that is coming upon humanity. And this is the time to do something about it. I think Timothy already shared some of these verses. I'm just going to repeat a couple of them. It says in Romans, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath." Whose wrath? Wrath of God through him. That's what Paul writes to the Romans. So when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, we save ourselves from the wrath of God that is to come. And he mentioned also the 1 Thessalonians, and I will repeat it, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So when Apostle Paul speaks, all the things that he has applied to win some, to save some, it is from the wrath of God that is to come. In John 3:36, we read, "He who believes in his Son has everlasting life." So our goal and objective should be the same as the one of the Apostle Paul. It should be to save people from the wrath of God and to win them over so as the gift, which is eternal life. Spare from the damnation that is to come, the judgment that is to come, and in the process, as they accept Christ, they receive eternal life as a gift. The question is, do we really believe and do we live in the same manner that the wrath of God is really coming? You will hear all kinds of theories out there. Well, the hell is not real. This is just a psychological. You're already being tormented today for struggles in this life. There is no hell. There is no condemnation. God is love, so therefore he's not gonna. I'm a good person. God's not gonna judge me. Those are all the teachings out there. Unfortunately, Christianity is also overwhelmed today because of the knowledge and information that is being shared so readily and so quickly, that this concept of Christianity today, it's losing a focus and shift. And so a lot of them are being invited to accept Christ and accept this invitation to be spared from the wrath of God. But it's not really emphasized that it's really the judgment of God that is coming. But it's more to address the psychological needs, the depression, the grief, the abandonment, the loneliness, the anger, the low self-esteem, the fear, and so on and so forth. So there's this presentation of the gospel that if you accept Christ, you will address these ailments that the society is struggling with. Don't get me wrong, that Christ is the solution to all this. God is the solution to all this. But if our emphasis is that God has sacrificed his son so that I would not feel depressed, that I will not be lonely, or that I would not have certain fears in my life, that's not the point. Christ was sacrificed. God sacrificed his only son because of our sin. And there is a judgment that is to come. And do we really believe that? And this is the key point of the message, not the social justice, as we would like to see all that. But we see a lot of Christianity in society in general looking towards this social justice, that we're going to find solution for all men's problems. Until Christ returns and establishes the millennial kingdom and the new heaven and new earth come, there is no perfect, absolute social justice that you and I will experience in this life. Not available. Because it's being run by human beings. There is a fallen humanity. So this is the clear objective. So what is Paul's strategy in these few verses about gaining and winning these souls for Christ, being a helpful mechanism in this process? In 1520, Martin Luther wrote a treatise called The Freedom of the Christian. And I like what he stated in that. I mean, he wrote a lot more. But here's a brief summary. It says, a Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. So a Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. And then he adds, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. So in Christ, we experience this freedom of any condemnation, first and foremost, of this pending judgment, but also freedom from any obligations that we have of the Old Testament ceremonial laws and dietary laws and all the other things. We have liberty to live in Christ within the moral confines of the law, but liberty to live out for Christ. But a mature Christian, like Paul, in order to who took the message and understands the judgment to come, to the point that he was so concerned and willing that he would become a servant of all. And so we find in Galatians 5:13, it says, for you, brethren, having been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. He became a servant of all. He humbled himself to the point that he was willing to take whatever approach was necessary in order to help those he was communicating with the message of the gospel. And he speaks about three aspects of the law. He says, first of all, I'm not under the law. Basically what he's saying, he is not bound in any way to earn salvation by the Old Testament law commandments. That by grace through faith, that's how he has obtained salvation. It is a gift of God. Nor is he bound anymore to the ceremonial or dietary separation laws, etc., etc. He did not say that he is not bound by the moral law of God. And that's a separate debate. Because he's saying, as a Christian, I am not without the law of God. So you understand the difference. in his approach to how he was dealing with. He was no longer feeling that he is bound in any way to the Old Testament ceremonial and dietary and separation laws of separation. Do not touch, do not do this. But he was not free from the God's moral law. We submit to God's moral law. But then he takes it to the higher level. He says, he talks about the law of Christ. In what way is the law of Christ different than God's moral law? It is the law of agape love. That's what he's talking about. There's one aspect of just understanding the God's moral law, and that by the grace of God, we try to adhere to that and live out those. He has equipped us with his Spirit, that through the process of maturing the characteristics of God's characteristics that he desires in us, mature in that process. But it starts off with the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on and so forth. Gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Yeah, 9 of them. But he starts off with love, agape love. And so basically what Paul is saying, as far as Old Testament law, I'm not bound by that anymore. However, the moral law of God, I do abide by. But I live by God's law of Christ, which is the law of love, agape love. The love that is so willing to sacrifice and give of oneself for the benefit of others. Yeah, and so basically, that's what he's telling. That's his approach. So, what does this look like in his life, and how should that look like in our lives? So you can ask yourself a couple of questions. Are we becoming more worldly minded as we're trying to reach out to the lost? If I'm becoming more worldly minded because I'm becoming all things to all people so that I may win some. So now in my lifestyle, in my attitude, my behavior, I'm shifting, becoming more worldly minded to reach some. But in the process, I'm assessing, are those that I'm trying to reach, are they growing spiritually? Are they recognizing the calling of God and a need to repent and so on and so forth? Is God working in their heart? If my shift is going too far into one direction and the other individuals are not responding, it's time to stop and reassess our strategy. And the second good test is my passion for reaching the lost going down, or is it growing? Am I really firmly believing that this judgment is coming, and that the person next to me, whether it's my neighbor, whether it's my coworker, whether it's my relative, whether it's my son or daughter or father or mother or whoever it may be, the ones that I get in contact with, do I realize that they are bound for eternal damnation? And do I really care? Is my passion growing, or is it shrinking? If the passion for reaching the lost is shrinking, then I'm not functioning, I'm not operating yet under the law of Christ, which is the law of love, which is the agape love, self-sacrificing love. I'm thinking of myself. I found salvation. I'm going to coast to the finish line. We need to think about is what Paul is saying here. It does take that love of God in our hearts to have that concern for the lost, to be motivated to do these things, to adjust the message in a sense depending on who I'm talking to. But if in the process I'm compromising my holiness that we talked about this morning and my faith, in my conviction, I'm on the wrong path. Nowhere did Apostle Paul compromise on his moral stand. He has adjusted his message. For instance, when he took young Timothy, who he considered his spiritual son, as his mentor and took him on his missionary journey, what did he do? He decided to circumcise Timothy. Why? Because the surrounding area knew of the family and they knew that his father was Greek. The mother was Jewish, but her father was Greek. And that his effectiveness in sharing the message would have been very weak. It would be an obstacle because he was still going a lot to the Jewish community to reach them. But when he came out into the arguments and discussion with the Judaizers who were claiming that you have to be circumcised in order to receive salvation, he was objecting vehemently. Titus, who was also Greek, he would not agree of him getting circumcised, period, because this was challenged as the way of receiving salvation. Do you understand the difference? God gave him the wisdom and understanding because he had a passion for the lost to adjust his message, to adjust the approach that he was taking depending on who he was talking to, but not to compromise and adjust the essence of God's message. Not to compromise on God's truth. Not to compromise on what is holiness and righteousness for the benefit of winning others. Why am I saying that? Just read some articles. Today we're just laughing at lunchtime. I wanted to quickly find something. It was about dessert. And I forgot the name of it. Portuguese little tart. Thank God for Google. In 5 seconds you find everything. But you find a lot of other things. I was recently, somebody shared with me a video of a lot of the mega churches in America, how they function and what they do. Not to put ourselves on a pedestal, because we have to be always very vigilant about how we worship God and what we do in our own lives and in the life of the church. But what is going on is the watering down, compromising on the basic principles of God's teaching about the gospel in order to fill the benches. There was a raffle that was given that the primary prize, the number one prize, was a car. There were a number of gift cards for $300 for food and groceries that were given for anybody who would come to church. When confronted with that, the pastor said, "Hey, they came to hear the word of God. That's what matters." I don't want to be a judge about it, but I'm saying this is where you start pushing the limit of mixing up a message approach and the actual essence of the message, because nowhere did Christ offer material gifts to come and hear him. Yes, he's concerned about our everyday needs. But I can't even tell you how many other examples I've read about. And that's the risk of where do you find that balance? The call is coming out. We need to be aware that as Scripture talks about, it doesn't mean because Paul took this beautiful strategy and approach and gave us as an example, but you have to first have to have a passion in your heart that you wish to share with others, and you are willing to get dirty along the way. You're willing to get uncomfortable if you bring people that are not of our background and of our ethnic background, of our economic background. We need to be willing to get uncomfortable in order that others may hear about Christ. That's the part that we need to be uncomfortable about. But to compromise on the message, never. Paul is not saying that with this strategy, he was able to deliver a message and everybody received it. No. In my Bible class, this was senior citizens class, a question was raised. I was teaching that day, and the question was raised, I'd love to hear the discussion of what do I do when I get invited to by friends to a gay marriage? How do I deal with that? Wow. That was a loaded question. And we had a very good, healthy discussion. But I think some of these principles came out through this discussion. That as Christians, we can't just cut off certain groups of people, but that doesn't mean that we approve and support certain lifestyles. Just like as a Christian, I would not support my friend living with his girlfriend out of the wedlock. It's against the Word of God. The challenge becomes for us, how do we deliver this message in a very complicated world that we live in today, with transgender, with LGBT, and whatever other letters they're going to be adding to it, and simply focus on what the Word of God has to say versus what our comfort zone is. Paul was trying to be very clear that he made adjustments so that he would reach as many as possible, so he would not offend them with things that are not necessary to offend them with. But if they got offended by the Word of God that there was only one God and that there's only one Son, Jesus Christ, and only one Holy Spirit, well, then they're offended by God, not by you or me. If they're offended by what we preach from the pulpit as being the truth and based on God's Word, they're offended by God's Word or by God Himself, and they're going to have to answer for that. But if we become a turnoff by everything else that, well, this is how we do, and this is how we have done it, and this is the only way we can do, then we're pushing the crowd away. That's the balance that Paul is challenging us with. That it requires God's wisdom, but it starts with the love of God that it's in our hearts. If we have a care and concern that we would be willing to get more and more uncomfortable. And that's what Danny was saying this morning, that a lot of us got pricked in our heart that we need to get a little bit more uncomfortable in our own lifestyles, in our own time, in order that perhaps we would share the gospel with more. But it is God who works in their hearts. Don't ever think that it is your effort or my effort is going to save someone. We just have to be willing to be used by God. So in closing, here are the principles that Paul has established. We need to adapt an attitude that I am a slave to all. That's not easy. He says, I'm a servant of all. And that's what Luther was talking about. Though we have this freedom in Christ, for the sake of the love of God in us, we're willing to turn ourselves to be servants of all. There's a perception to gain. Apostle Paul was a master of assessing the situation. If you remember, when he was in Athens on his second missionary journey, he went ahead of the remaining group that followed, yeah? And as he walked around and saw all this stuff, and how did he approach the Athenians? They were philosophers. They liked to stand and talk about things. And he says, you have statues for just about every god. But he says, this one unknown God I want to talk to you about. The ones that have a desire and passion to share the gospel, God will provide that discernment, the perception, what is the best method. And then finally, there's a balance to maintain. God desires for us to use Paul's example to become all things for all men. But in that process, we need to keep that it's all for God, not for our glory, not for our personal enjoyment, but it's for God's glory. So that balance, maintaining that balance, is very important, because as human beings, we can easily get sidetracked for the good reasons. Another example, perhaps, to conclude, that I've shared in the past. If a Christian that has suffered and struggled in his own life before becoming a Christian with alcoholism. And it's a temptation that he fought so hard by God's grace to get rid of and to not indulge in that freedom anymore. He gave up on that. And he's faithfully serving the Lord. For him to choose to go and share the gospel in a bar is not the wisdom that God is talking about. It's not walking the right balance. It's not making the right choices, even though it may be with the right focus. Oh, I need to share the gospel. Because they have people that have struggled with drugs and so on and so forth. They go back to places where there is gatherings and whatnot, because they can share what the struggles were and so on. So this is the model and example that God is telling us, that God is giving us wisdom through his Spirit and through his Word, that if the passion is there, he will provide the method for us to be able to reach out, that more would come to realization that they need Christ. May God add a blessing to this.